What a blessing. Amen. I'm looking forward to going with them on the missions trip. What a blessing. Amen. And just excited about that. And I appreciate their heart for missions and want to do something for the Lord. What a blessing. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 in your Bibles this morning, the book of Ecclesiastes. And you'll find that in your Old Testament, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, and then the book of Ecclesiastes in your Bibles this morning. Been a great week. The Lord's given us some rain. Thank the Lord for that. And just excited and thankful for what God's done. Life is a wonderful thing if you view everything through the lenses of God. Amen. And I think that's what our text is going to talk to us about today. I believe that's what God is saying, is life can be a blessing if you look at everything through the lenses of God. And we're going to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9 this morning. We're going to read this whole passage of Scripture. And so follow along this morning, please, as I read Ecclesiastes 9, beginning with verse 1. The Bible says here, "For all this, I consider in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth is he that feareth an oath. There is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more portion forever in anything that is done under the sun." Now skip, if you would, over to verse 13. Notice verse 13 here. "This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, and a few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now, there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet, more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good." Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for the Bible this morning, and thank you, Lord, that we're here to hear, Lord, thy words this morning, the words of life. And, oh, Lord, would you take the truths of the passage this morning, and, Lord, may you put them in our hearts and our minds today. And, Lord, we all have a need today. We need you most of all. We all have needs in our lives and in our hearts. And God, we ask that you'd meet the needs by thy word this morning. Lord, we know the greatest need is that need that Brother Bingham sang about, that one who needs the old rugged cross and the blood applied to their sins. And Lord, I pray that there's one, Lord, within the sound of my voice, that God, they need you to save them, Lord. I pray this morning they would, that they'd come to you with an open heart and trust you by faith. I pray this morning in Jesus' name, amen. In the passage that we just read, we find the psalm writer, actually Solomon, who is, he's looking at life. He's looking at life, and he's looking at life, the meaning of life, and he wants to know what life is really all about. He wants to get to the substance of life, what really is meaningful. The passage is written by the king, probably the most wealthy king that ever ruled the world. And it was King Solomon. He had everything that a man could desire. He had everything that a man could want. And he even said that there's nothing that I could withhold myself from that I could not have in life. Now imagine that. Imagine living a life like that. Imagine a life where whatever you wanted, you could have whatever you want. You say, that's a nice thought to think about, preacher. Amen. But imagine a life like that. Imagine if you want whatever kind of car you want, you could have whatever kind of pickup truck you want, all of whatever you wanted, you could have, and you could have as many of them as you wanted, as many homes, as many things, and you wouldn't have to go to work anymore. And all God's people said, amen. Yeah, that appeals real good right there. Mm-hmm. And imagine just whatever you desired. I mean, you want to build a pool the size of Tennessee in your backyard, you can do that. Amen. You want to have whatever you wanted, a helicopter, a jet, a plane. I mean, nothing. You could spare nothing. You could have whatever you wanted. Imagine living a life like that. Well, we're hearing words from a man who lived such a life. The wealth of Solomon was renowned throughout all the world. And Solomon's wealth not only was found in his mines, and by the way, the mines of Solomon are still unknown where Solomon found all his gold, but he had gold oozing out everywhere. And then when other kings and people would come to see Solomon, especially even the Queen of Sheba, she brought cartloads of gold to Solomon, and all of these things. There's nothing Solomon could not have and that he did not have. And you know what? He tried it all, didn't he? He tried everything. Now, he had fame. He was known throughout the world. He had money. He had wealth. He had 700 wives. Now, I wonder about the wisdom of that. Amen. Amen. I don't know what made him so wise as to have that. 700 wives. But he had 700 wives. See, Solomon was living this life where he could do whatever he wanted. And so he didn't keep his heart from anything. He just let his heart plunge into whatever he wanted. He lived that way for years. Year after year, year after year. Time after time. And time passed as he lived this life. And you would think that it would only make him happier. You would think that he would reach this point in life where he's like, I have no worries, I have no fears, I have no trouble. Nobody, I'm great. And at the day of his death, he would be the happiest ever. But he reveals to us a whole different way of understanding. You know, Solomon lives today the way most people, often many Christians, are trying to live today. Trying to reach this pinnacle, trying to get more things, thinking that somehow these things are going to please us and that these things somehow are going to make us happy. But Solomon, he got them all. I mean, every one of them, whatever he wanted, he got it. And he got to the end and he realized there is not a real substance in it. He realized, you know, you can't take it with you when you die. I'm reminded of that movie star that wanted to die buried sitting up in his Rolls Royce. They buried him in his Rolls Royce, sitting up in the driver's seat of his Rolls Royce. Guess what? It's still there. He couldn't take it with him. All of the Egyptian gods packed their tombs full of gold and silver, all these things for their supposed afterlife. And guess what? Tomb raiders have come and raided all of them. Still there. Solomon does, though, thankfully, through wisdom, come to some conclusions about what life is really about. And you know what? You don't have to get on the side of having everything before you can really see what it's about. You don't have to get there. Thank God, because I'll never get there. Amen? And none of us probably will either. None of you probably will either. But he gets to this place where he realizes, and he's thinking now, I'm not going to live forever. What's going to matter? What is life really about? What is it that brings us real satisfaction? And if you look at this passage of Scripture and you don't really understand it, you look at, you kind of see maybe this depressed view of life that he brings out. He says again and again, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. I made this and I created that and it didn't bring me happy. Vanity, vexation of spirit. I tried this and there's nothing new under the sun. And he begins to look at life as ho-hum. Ho-hum, whatever. And there's no, he loses his joy. He loses his thrill of life. He loses this passion to live for a purpose. He loses it. But there's something that helps him get it back. And that is one word. It's called wisdom. Wisdom. And some people have said some different things about wisdom that I like. And wisdom is a very important principle in life, because wisdom can prevent us from going into many bad places and dark places in our life. Wisdom is so essential. Wisdom is not smarts. It's the ability to know what to do from God, when to do it. It's how to know what God says and to have the kind of heart that gives your heart to what God says, because what God says is ultimately what brings us fulfillment and joy in life. You can stock up bank accounts and have a lot of things in life, but those things are not necessarily things of wisdom. But wisdom teaches us what to focus on, what to put our life into, what to put our heart onto, so that our lives are full of joy. You know, they asked Nelson Rockefeller one time, how much money would you like to have? And you know what his answer was? He said, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Howard Hughes was one of the richest men of his time, and he was so paranoid about getting the wrong germ. And he lived in an apartment. He wouldn't allow anybody to come into his apartment. He lived up on some high-rise apartment, and nobody could come in and touch him because he was so afraid of dying. And he had all the wealth that a man could possibly want. Guess what? He died one day of a germ that got him. You see, there's a way to live life, no matter what your status is in life, no matter who you are, no matter what your gender is or what your race is or what your life is about or your background, it doesn't matter. There's a way to live life that parses all the things that aren't really matter. And wisdom can help you identify the things in life that are really what life is about living. I think there's a lot of people walking around depressed today and defeated and discouraged because they've never entered into what wisdom will lead them into. They never desired that wisdom or really never thought about it or really never needed to know what to do in life, how to focus, where to put my passion. Wisdom, once man said, the difference between a smart man and a wise man is a smart man knows what to say, but a wise man knows whether to say it or not. Yeah. Wisdom. Well, what did he come up with? He came to a conclusion in the end of chapter 12. Can I show it to you? Look at chapter number 12, if you would, and look at verse number 13. He comes to a conclusion about life. Again, this is the man that has everything. What does he say? Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Have a new car, have a new home, have a new things. That's what life is about. Not what he said. He said here in verse 13, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He identified that wisdom is to follow a life of living right with God. That's the way to live life. He lived it seeking to be right with God. Can I tell you something? There's something wonderful about living right with God in your life. And you know, the devil throws up all these excuses and all these things that can enter into our mind as to why we're not happy or why this isn't working in our life. But let me tell you something. Forget all that and focus on being right with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be so blessed and you'll live with joy in your heart every day. The joy of being right. He came to a conclusion. Fear God. Keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. He said it's worth it to serve God in your life. We have a comparison of this in Luke chapter 16 of the rich man and the poor man. The rich man fared sumptuously every day, the Bible says, but he died one day. And where'd he go? He entered into hell. Lift up his eyes, being in torment. He saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Lazarus was the poor man that would come to his gate and beg for the crumbs that fell from his table. He didn't have much, but he had wisdom. He had wisdom. He knew God. He knew he needed to be saved. He knew he needed to trust God, and he got saved. He trusted Christ, and when he died, he spent all eternity in heaven, and the rich man is still in hell, perishing forever. You know, that's wisdom. Wisdom is to know you need a Savior. It's to know that you need somebody to come into your heart and save you and wash you of your sins and cleanse you. That's wisdom. Because money can't take you into heaven. Things can't take you into heaven. You've got to be saved. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must. I think a lot of people are trying to get to heaven good works. Like John chapter 10 says, some are trying to climb over the gate some other way rather than going through the door. And Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. And so wisdom says there's a point at which to live life for the right things. Are you doing that today? I can tell you today that if you live for things, you'll reach a point of disappointment in your life. Now, things aren't necessarily wrong. Wealth is not necessarily wrong. In fact, the Bible, there's wealthy people in Scripture. Did you know that? Abraham was a wealthy man. The question is, do you have wisdom in whatever lot you are in life? That really is the matter. That is the catalyst between joy or unhappiness. And he found out some things. I want you to show you a couple of things here about what he said. Notice he said, verse 4. He said, chapter 9, verse 4. He said, "For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion." You know what he's saying? He's saying, live your life not worried about trying to be the biggest and the best and the greatest. Live your life just trying to be the you that God made you. Did you know God made everybody different? Do you know that? I mean, God made us all a little different. We all have a little bit different personality. And God made you that way. He made you for a reason. He put a purpose in you that he wanted you to accomplish. He didn't make any other you. Amen. He made you to be you. There's a lot of wisdom in just being you. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about the sinful you. I'm talking about the you that God made, the personality, the person that God made. You know, I find a lot of Christians trying to be what they're not. Amen? Well, I wish I was that, and I wish I... You know, let me tell you something. Wishing will never get you the joy and the peace of what you accomplish. If you just say, "Lord, you made me the way I am, I'm just going to be me." Amen. And I'm going to be the best me that I can be for your glory and honor. You'd be surprised how much joy you'll return to your heart and your life. Living dogs better than a dead lion. Amen. Just be yourself. Be what God made you. Notice he said verse 9, this one. He says, "Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, and thy vanity, which thou hast given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest in the sun." You know what he's saying? Keep your home and your family and your marriage together. Keep it together. I think every home and every marriage over time has difficulty. It does. There's nobody perfect. Amen. Especially my wife. She just doesn't see the things the way that I see them. I like getting the pulpit because she has to be quiet. But then we go home after the service. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Then we go home after the service. And I have my tail tucked in the evening service. So anyhow. No, she's a wonderful wife. But you know, God gave her a personality. God gave me a personality. And you got to keep that marriage right because... And by the way, you know what a marriage is? Is when two people are growing closer to God, you grow closer to each other. Amen. Amen. And it's usually when one tries to go the other direction or one's trying to go God, that separation occurs. And by the way, even if there's difficulty in a marriage, keep it together. That's what God's saying. Do your best. You can't help it if a mate leaves you, but do the right thing. Live in that marriage. Live peaceably. Do everything you can to love the person that God gave you. He says that's a lot better than wealth and riches. That's a lot better than money. That's a lot better than things that are there. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest. You know, the divorce rate is over 65% in America today. And you know, kids are getting left. The kids pay for the divorce. Kids. And you know what? I want to tell you something. Do everything you can. Do everything you can. And I'm not trying to discourage you if you've had a difficulty or a divorce in your life. I understand. But do everything you can to keep it together. Amen. Everything you can. You're not going to see everything eye to eye. You're not going to be perfect. You have to live with forgiveness and love. Because down the road, you'll be glad you kept that thing together. Amen. Amen. And sometimes a difficulty will arise in a home and a family. And you know what? The first thing someone wants to do is ball it up and throw it away. That's not the answer. Hear me, that's not the answer. God says, live joyfully with the wife of thy youth. My wife said one day she looks forward to growing old with me. No, I told her you different. I said, honey, I want to grow old together with you. And she said, well, I'd like to grow together with you. She forget the old growing old part. Amen. Old and fat together? Is that what you said? Was that what I said? I'm preaching over here this morning. I'm going to stay away from that side of the auditorium. Amen. I'm in big trouble this afternoon. You pray for me. Put me on your prayer list. I was trying to be nice. You said it, so I don't think I can get out of this one anyhow. But, hey, I'm going to tell you something. Even though there's differences or hardships, if you stick it out, you can have joy in your home, in your marriage. Live joyfully with the wife of thy youth. You know, and usually people that have one divorce, they usually end up having another one and another one and another one.
Yeah.
Not always, but it just seems that they haven't found something that wisdom can teach them. Amen.
Amen.
And this is what Solomon comes up with. He says, this is what a substance is. This is what life is really about. This is what brings you joy and fulfillment in life. There may be challenges, yes, but hear me. He's saying this is what is a conclusion that he's found. He's had it all. But this is what he's found is good in work. Verse 10, notice another thing he says. He says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. There is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where thou goest. You know what he's saying? He's saying, whatever God has given you to do, do it with your heart. Do it with your heart and do it with passion. I mean, if you're a carpenter, build that house with passion. Do what you can. Put your hand to it. Do it with, don't do it lackluster, whatever you do. You raise children. Raise them the best you can. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Put your strength, put your all into whatever it is that God has you to do. You say, well, I'm just a garbage collector or a burger flipper. Then flip them burgers as best you can. Amen? It doesn't matter what you do. What matters is that what you do it with your might. You do it to the best of your ability. All that we do. See, that's wisdom. Because wisdom turns the defeats in our lives into joys. It does. Do whatever you do with help and strength. Number four, notice verse 11. He said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. He's saying, it doesn't matter if they're strong or weak, everybody's gonna die. The time's gonna come for all of us. And he's not, don't misunderstand, he's not saying this in a depressed tone. He's saying it in the tone that if wisdom is there, you can see what really is valuable in life while we're still living. That's what he's saying. He's saying it's not, you know, we honor all these Hollywood people. We honor, look at how great they are. Look at LeBron. And look at all these people. Think about it. We take pig skin, we dry it out, we blow it up, and a man jumps and hits it between metal, and we hang posters in our rooms for people that can take pig skin and shove it through a piece of metal. That's what we do. Amen. Man, he got 1,000 yards rushing this year. We make a big star out of him. I'll tell you what. We have this idea, we have this false sense of what really is real. It's not to the swift. It's not to the strong. Be the one that God wants you to be. And he's saying, when you live life trying to assume this position or this place that God really doesn't have for you, just be content where you are. Be content with what God's given you. And be thankful every day. Because I got news for you. Some of these people that we build up and we honor and look at in the world and say, wow, movie stars and this, boy, they've got it great. I want to tell you what, half of them haven't learned wisdom. And they're defeated, they're depressed, they're miserable, whether their bank account's full or not. But I'm going to tell you something, if you have wisdom, you have something, you have wealth. You have something this world cannot compare. You have something blessed to walk in wisdom. I want to show you the last thing that he says here in verse number 13. Are you still with me this morning? Are you getting hungry yet? Isn't Sunday morning horrible? Because you get more hungry listening to a sermon than you do anything else. Are you like that? I go home Sunday afternoon, I'm famished. I mean, I'm hungry. I'm almost hangry. Anybody get hangry? You know what that is? There we go. I see that hand. Amen. You know, I don't know what it is about Sundays. All right, preacher, wrap it up. Amen. That's what you're saying. But I want you to notice lastly what he says here. Verse 13. An example comes to him that seems really great to him. Notice verse 13. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city and a few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Woo! Big time. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Now notice what he's saying here. He's saying, this great king comes on the scene. He thinks he's big stuff, and he takes over a little city. Builds great bulwarks. Whoop-dee-doo, it's just a little city. No big deal. But there's also a wise man in that city, and he's a poor man. He doesn't have much, but he has wisdom. He has wisdom. And the Bible says he delivers this city, but no man remembers the name of the wise man. It seems as if he's almost forgotten. He's not remembered. But yet he is given the recognition that he is the one, by his wisdom, that saved that city. Now, can I tell you something? Wisdom is not having to be known or seen or acknowledged. Wisdom doesn't pursue that. Wisdom pursues this understanding that if I just seek, follow the right thing, and if I use wisdom, then God can use me to accomplish something for His glory and honor. God can use me. Hey, friend, I want to tell you something. God can use you. God can use you. You say, well, I'm a nobody. Well, congratulations. You fit the qualifications. This man here in this city, he wasn't anything. He didn't think of himself as anything. But through wisdom, he saved many lives. He delivered many people. You know, this reminds me of preachers all over this country. You know, there are preachers all over this country in towns and cities. Nobody knows their name. Nobody knows who they are, but they're faithfully preaching the Word of God. And they're seeing God do things in the lives of people. When they die, nobody will remember their name. But I'll tell you what, heaven will know their name. Heaven will declare the difference. And I think all these that we praise and have accolades for today, not all of them are going to get the same praise when we get to heaven. But I'll tell you what, a mother who's faithful, raises her kids for the Lord, works hard, lives for God, pleases God, she may die with little recognition. But I'll tell you something, there's a God in heaven who sees her. There's a God in heaven who knows her name. And there is a God in heaven that will see to it that there is an eternal reward for that one. Same with those preachers. They're faithful. They're faithful. They stay with, they just keep on preaching, just keep on loving people, keep on working hard and doing their best. And it may seem like sometimes you're not getting very far. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of wisdom there. And being a poor, wise person who just keeps on doing the will of God, living with a daily peace that you know you're doing what God wants you to do. It doesn't get better than that. You know, what is money when you don't have peace in your heart? What is wealth when there's an overload of turmoil in your soul? What does it mean? It falls into dust. Wisdom. And you know, I want to tell you something. The wisest thing you can do today in your life is to make sure that you know heaven is your home. The wisest thing you could ever do today is make sure you know heaven is your home. You know, there's a lot of people who think they're wise in this life and they live thinking their good works will get them there. God wants us to be wise and put our faith in Him. And trust Him, whose righteousness is perfect when ours is imperfect, whose grace is mighty, whose power to save us is unending and unchanging. And God is a righteous God. When He comes and washes our hearts clean in His blood, I'll tell you what, it does it for good. It never goes away. Oh, hear me today. If you're here today and you're not saved and you're within the sound of my voice, oh, hear me today. Don't be the fool who said, I'll live my way. I'll do it what I want to do. I'll live how I want to go. Can I tell you something? Open your heart today and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him in your heart. Let wisdom lead you to that decision in life. And put your faith in Him. Do you know you're saved today? Has it been settled? Can I tell you, if not, you ought to get it settled this morning. And God can let you settle it in your heart. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes this morning?